for a scripture today. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 6 through 12. Therefore my people shall know my name, yea, in that day they shall know that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And then shall they say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings unto them, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings unto them of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Well, for today's message, I was a little bit troubled. I had that scripture, and the title of today's message is Good Tidings of Peace and Joy. But there was two other titles that came to me as I was pondering upon that. It says, The Wonderful Plan of Redemption and the Gospel of the Kingdom of God. You might wonder how, as we come together here to remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what does that scripture have to do with the resurrection? Well, that's a long story, so I'll try to synopsize it or shorten it here. And if you have your scriptures with you, I'm reading from the inspired version of the scriptures, beginning with Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. I am the beginning and the end, the Almighty God. By mine only begotten I created these things. Yea, in the beginning I created the heaven and the earth upon which thou standest. And then in verse 29 we read, And I, God, created man in mine own image. In the image of mine only begotten created I him. Male and female created I them. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, For I, the Lord God, created all things of which I have spoken spiritually before they were natural upon the face of the earth. For I, the Lord God, had not caused it to rain upon the face of the earth. And I, the Lord God, had created all the children of men, and not yet a man to till the ground. For in heaven created I them, and there was not yet flesh upon the earth, neither in the water, neither in the air. But I, the Lord God, spake, and there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And I, the Lord God, formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, the first flesh upon the earth, the first man also. Nevertheless, all things were before created, but spiritually were they created and made according to my word. So from these scriptures, we can see that from the very beginning, the plan of creation and of redemption was laid even from the time of creation, because everything was created through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we will see here, and as we read the other words of the prophets, that Jesus Christ is the fleshly tabernacle of God, and it was through that fleshly tabernacle that it was the pattern by which all things were created, even created spiritually first, after the spiritual body or the Father, and after the temporal body or the body of Christ the Son. Genesis chapter 3. And we see this is where man has fallen. He gave in to the temptation of wanting to know and be wise. And we read here the consequences of that in Genesis 3, verses 28 to 31. "And I, the Lord God, send unto mine only begotten, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and partake also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore I, the Lord God, will send him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. For as I, the Lord God, liveth, even so my words cannot return void. For as they go forth out of my mouth, they must be fulfilled. So I drove out the man, and I placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So after Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, we see that there was only one way back to the tree of life. And we'll know what that tree of life is here in a little bit. Chapter 4, we read beginning with verses 4 through 13. "And Adam called upon the name of the Lord, and Eve also his wife. And they heard the voice of the Lord from the way towards the Garden of Eden, speaking unto them. And they saw him not, for they were shut out from his presence." And it's interesting there how it says, even though they were shut out from his presence and could not see him face to face, they could still hear him. God still loved his creation and would still speak forth his voice unto man, that they might hearken unto him. And in verse 5 we read, "And he gave unto them commandments, that they should worship the Lord their God, and should offer their firstlings of their flocks for an offering unto the Lord. And Adam was obedient unto the commandments of the Lord, and after many days an angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam, saying, Why dost thou offer sacrifices unto the Lord? And Adam said unto him, I know not, save the Lord commanded me. And then the angel spake, saying, This thing is a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. Wherefore thou shalt do all that thou doest in the name of the Son, and thou shalt repent, and call upon God in the name of the Son forevermore. And in that day the Holy Ghost fell on Adam, which beareth record of the Father and of the Son, saying, I am the only begotten of the Father from the beginning, henceforth and forever, that as thou hast fallen, thou mayest be redeemed, and all mankind, even as many as will. And in that day Adam blessed God and was filled, and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy. And again in the flesh I shall see God. And Eve, his wife, heard all these things and was glad, saying, Were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed, and never should have known good and evil, and the joy of our redemption, and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient. And Adam and Eve blessed the name of God, and they made all things known unto their sons and their daughters. And Satan came among them, saying, I am also a son of God. And he commanded them, saying, Believe it not. And they believed it not, and they loved Satan more than God. And men began from that time forth to be carnal, sensual, and devilish. And what's interesting is as we read these words from the inspired version, you may remember if you've heard another sermon which was given about what is the fullness of the gospel. The fullness of the gospel is these things that are only in the Book of Mormon and the inspired version. It is those things which bring us to remembrance of the covenants and the promises. For the gospel of Jesus Christ existed even from the very beginning, from Adam, and shall remain even until the end of days. So let us turn to chapter 5, verse 43 to 45. And God cursed the earth with a sore curse, and was angry with the wicked, with all the sons of men whom he had made, for they would not hearken unto his voice, nor believe on his only begotten Son, even him whom he declared should come in the meridian of time, who was prepared from before the foundation of the world. And thus the gospel began to be preached from the beginning, being declared by holy angels, sent forth from the presence of God, and by his own voice, and by the gift of the Holy Ghost. And thus all things were confirmed unto Adam by an holy ordinance, and the gospel preached, and decree sent forth that it should be in the world until the end thereof. And thus it was. Amen. Now we see in Genesis chapter 6, Adam is calling all men to repentance. And let's go on down to verse 57. And he expounds the plan of redemption. And the Lord spake unto Adam, saying, Inasmuch as thy children are conceived in sin, even so, when they begin to grow up in sin, sin conceiveth in their hearts, and they taste the bitter, that they might know to prize the good. And it is given unto them to know good from evil, wherefore they are agents unto themselves. And I have given you another law and commandment, wherefore, teach it unto your children, that all men everywhere must repent, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. For no unclean thing can dwell there, or dwell in his presence. For in the language of Adam, man of holiness is his name, and the name of his only begotten is the Son of Man, even Jesus Christ, a righteous judge who shall come in the meridian of time. Therefore I give unto you a commandment to teach these things freely unto your children, saying that by reason of the transgression cometh the fall, which fall bringeth death, and inasmuch as ye were born into the world by water and blood, and the Spirit which I have made, and so become of dust a living soul. Even so ye must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, of water and of the Spirit, and be cleansed by blood, even the blood of mine only begotten, that ye may be sanctified from all sin, and enjoy the words of eternal life in this world, and eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. For by the water ye keep the commandment, and by the Spirit ye are justified, and by the blood ye are sanctified. Therefore it is given to abide in you the record of heaven, the Comforter, the peaceable things of immortal glory, the truth of all things, that which quickeneth all things, which maketh alive all things, that which knoweth all things, and hath power according to wisdom, mercy, truth, justice, and judgment. And now, behold, I say unto you, this is the plan of salvation unto all men, through the blood of mine only begotten, who shall come in the meridian of time. So we see from these words that the plan of redemption was laid even and preached even from the very beginning, from Adam. If we turn over to Genesis chapter 7, we read about Enoch, who was the seventh generation from Adam. And so the word of God was preached. Some people hearkened unto it, but many others did not. So Enoch was a very powerful preacher and prophet who was empowered by God to go forth, even with such power that he could move the depths of the sea and mountains. And we read in Genesis 7, verse 21, And the fear of the Lord was upon all nations, so great was the glory of the Lord which was upon his people. And the Lord blessed the land, and they were blessed upon the mountains, and upon the high places, and did flourish. And the Lord called his people Zion, because they were of one heart and one mind, and dwelt in righteousness, and there were no poor among them. So we see that the fruit of the gospel, even from the beginning, from Adam all the way down seven generations to Enoch, the fruit was a people who kept the word and kept their eyes upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did come forth to a point where the city of Zion came forth, because they were one heart and one mind, and they dwelt in righteousness. Their faith was in Jesus Christ. And we see, we go on over to verses 32 to 35. And he beheld Satan, and he had a great chain in his hand, and it veiled the whole face of the earth with darkness. And he looked up and laughed, and his angels rejoiced. And Enoch beheld angels descending out of heaven, bearing testimony of the Father and of the Son. And the Holy Ghost fell upon many, and they were caught up by the powers of heaven into Zion. And it came to pass that the God of heaven looked upon the residue of the people and wept. And Enoch bore record of it, saying, How is it that the heavens weep and shed forth their tears as the rain upon the mountains? And Enoch said unto the Lord, How is it that thou canst weep, seeing that thou art holy, and from all eternity to all eternity? And God replies in verse 42 through 46. Behold, I am God. Man of holiness is my name. Man of counsel is my name, and endless and eternal is my name also. Wherefore I can stretch forth my hands and hold all the creations which I have made, and mine eye can pierce them also. And among all the workmanship of my hands, there has not been so great wickedness as among thy brethren. But behold, their sins shall be upon the heads of their fathers. Satan shall be their father, and misery shall be their doom. And the whole heaven shall weep over them, even all the workmanship of my hands. Wherefore should not the heavens weep, seeing these shall suffer? But behold, these are thine eyes upon, are upon, but behold, these which thine eyes are upon shall perish in the floods. And behold, I will shut them up. A prison have I prepared for them, and he whom I have chosen hath pleaded before my face. Wherefore he suffereth for their sins, inasmuch as they will repent. In the day that my chosen shall return unto me, and until that day they shall be in torment. Wherefore for this shall the heavens weep, yea, and all the workmanship of my hands. And we turn on down to verse Genesis 7, verse 57 through 64. And it came to pass that Enoch continued his cry unto the Lord, saying, I ask thee, O Lord, in the name of thine only begotten, even Jesus Christ, that thou wilt have mercy upon Noah and his seed, that the earth might never more be covered by the floods. And the Lord could not withhold, and he covenanted with Enoch, and sware unto him with an oath that he should stay the floods, that he should call upon the children of Noah, and he sent forth an unalterable decree that a remnant of his seed should always be found among all nations, while the earth should stand. And the Lord said, Blessed is he through whose seed Messiah shall come. For he saith, I am Messiah, the King of Zion, the rock of heaven which is broad as eternity. And whoso cometh in at the gate and climbeth up by me shall never fall. Wherefore blessed are they of whom I have spoken, for they shall come forth with songs of everlasting joy. And it shall come to pass that Enoch cried unto the Lord, saying, When the Son of Man cometh in the flesh, shall the earth rest? I pray thee, show me these things. And the Lord said unto Enoch, Look, and he beheld the Son of Man lifted up on the cross after the manner of men. And he heard a loud voice, and the heavens were veiled, and all creations of God mourned. And the earth groaned, and the rocks were rent, and the saints arose and were crowned at the right hand of the Son of Man with crowns of glory. And as many of the spirits that were imprisoned came forth and stood on the right hand of God, and the remainder were reserved in chains of darkness until the judgment of the great day. And again Enoch wept and cried unto the Lord, saying, When shall the earth rest? So we see that even during the time of Zion, the Lord gave the prophecies of his coming in the meridian of time, and it was through that faith that the Messiah would come that was the foundation of the plan of redemption. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 9, which most of us are familiar with the story of Noah and how the Lord provided Noah a means by which the seed of man would continue, and the promise that through Noah's seed, the Messiah would be brought forth in the meridian of time. And after going through the flood, to kind of be a little more brief here, in Genesis chapter 9, beginning with verse 21, this is the everlasting covenant. And again, this is in the inspired version. And this is a central part of the fullness of the gospel. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant, which I made unto thy father Enoch, that when men should keep all my commandments, Zion should again come on the earth, the city of Enoch, which I have caught up unto myself. And this is mine everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then shall Zion look downward, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth shall tremble with joy. And the general assembly of the church of the firstborn shall come down out of heaven and possess the earth, and shall have place until the end come. And this is mine everlasting covenant, which I made unto thy father Enoch. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will establish my covenant unto thee, which I have made between me and thee, for every living creature of all flesh that shall be upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and thee, for all flesh that shall be upon the earth. What a powerful covenant. And I know it is so beautiful to be able to look up in the sky after a thunderstorm or rain coming down, and you're able to look up and see a rainbow or even a double rainbow. It is such a beautiful, comforting thing to behold. And this is the covenant that is to bring us memory to. Won't that be a wonderful day when Zion comes back? So I'm going to turn to Ether, chapter 1. And this is one of my favorite scriptures from Ether chapter 1, verses 69 to 81. And the veil was taken off the eyes of the brother of Jared, and he saw the finger of the Lord, and it was the finger as a man, like unto flesh and blood. And the brother of Jared fell down before the Lord, for he was struck with fear. And the Lord saw that the brother of Jared had fallen to the earth. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, why hast thou fallen? And he said unto the Lord, I saw the finger of the Lord, and I feared lest he should smite me, for I knew not that the Lord had flesh and blood. And the Lord said unto him, Because of thy faith thou hast seen that I shall take upon me flesh and blood. And never has man come before me with such exceeding faith as thou hast. For were it not so, ye could not have seen my finger. Sawest thou more than this? And he answered, Nay, Lord, show thyself unto me. And the Lord said unto him, Believest thou the words which I shall speak? And he answered, Yea, Lord, I know that thou speakest the truth, for thou art a God of truth, and canst not lie. And when he had said these words, behold, the Lord showed himself unto him, and said, Because thou knowest these things, ye are redeemed from the fall. Therefore ye are brought back into my presence. Therefore I show myself unto you. Behold, I am he who was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. In me shall all mankind have life, and that eternally, even they who shall believe on my name, and they shall become my sons and my daughters. And never have I showed myself unto man whom I have created, for never has man believed in me as thou hast. Seest thou that ye are created after mine own image? Yea, even all men were created in the beginning after mine own image. Behold, this body which ye now behold is the body of my spirit. And man have I created after the body of my spirit. And even as I appear unto thee to be in the spirit, will I appear unto my people in the flesh. What a powerful testimony to be able to see Jesus Christ face to face. And yet this was shortly not long after the flood, and Christ had not yet come forth in the flesh, but he appeared as the Father in the body of spirit unto the brother of Jared because of his great faith. And turning to the book of Mosiah, Morris had already read the words of King Benjamin from verses 97 through 109 about the prophecies of the coming of the Redeemer in the meridian of time. So I turn to Mosiah chapter 7. And in verses 77 to 80, Abinadi is confronting the King Noah and his priests because they have been wicked. They have not been following the commandments of God, nor teaching the commandments of God and the law of Moses and the purpose of the law of Moses. And one of them we see in verse 76, one of them asks Abinadi, what's the meaning of these words that are in Isaiah? So we're in Mosiah chapter 7, verse 77. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And now Abinadi said unto them, Ye are priests, and pretend to teach this people, and to understand the spirit of prophesying, and yet desire to know of me what these things mean. They should have known, but they didn't. And we go on to read in Mosiah chapter 8. Abinadi goes on to prophesy the coming of the Messiah in chapter 8, verse 28. And now Abinadi said unto them, I would that ye should understand that God himself shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. because he dwelleth in the flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. And having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Father because he was conceived by the power of God, and the Son because of the flesh, thus becoming the Father and the Son. And they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth. And thus the flesh becoming subject to the Spirit, or the Son to the Father, being one God, suffereth temptation, and yieldeth not to temptation, but suffereth himself to be mocked, and scourged, and cast out, and disowned by his people. And after all this, and after working many mighty miracles among the children of men, he shall be led, yea, even as Isaiah said, as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yea, even so, he shall be led, crucified and slain, and the flesh becomes subject even unto death, the will of the Son being swallowed up in the will of the Father. And thus God breaketh the bands of death, having gained victory over death, giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men, having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion towards the children of men, standing betwixt them and injustice, having broken the bands of death, taken upon himself their iniquity and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. Oh, what greater joy and peace can we have than keeping our faith upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we see in chapter 9, as Abinadi expounded these words unto King Noah and the priests, in chapter 9, beginning with verse 10 through 15, King Noah says unto Abinadi, "We have found an accusation against thee, and thou art worthy of death. For thou hast said that God himself should come down among the children of men. And now for this cause thou shalt be put to death, unless thou wilt recall all the words which thou hast spoken evil concerning me and my people." And now Abinadi said unto him, "I say unto you, I will not recall the words which I have spoken unto you concerning this people, for they are true. And that ye may know of their surety, I have suffered myself that I have fallen into your hands. Yea, and I will suffer even unto death, and I will not recall my words, and they shall stand as a testimony against you." They were so evil that they would not accept the word of the God, of God, nor the plan of redemption through faith in Jesus Christ, and they put Abinadi to death. And finally, of all the prophets that we see, we've read from many prophets before Christ came, and we finally come to this day of remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he gave for us. If you turn to the Bible, inspired version, chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, and I'd like to read from verses 49 to 57. Matthew chapter 27, verses 49 to 57. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard him, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink." And we know from Psalm 69, that was also a fulfillment of prophecy there. The rest said, "Let him be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, saying, "Father, it is finished. Thy will is done," yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and the bodies of the saints which slept arose, who were many, and came out of their graves after his resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. What a powerful testimony of the fulfillment of prophecy from the beginning of time, that when Christ died for our sins, the temple veil that split, they were separated between the inner Holy of Holies from the outer courtyard. That veil was rent. And before that was rent, only the high priest could go in there. But now, through faith in Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed for our sins, every one of us has access to the Holy of Holies to be able to come and have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Finally, I would read from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 43-47. And this is Christ appearing unto his disciples after the resurrection. And I would challenge everyone as they read the word of God that they might hearken unto these words. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, for thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Amen.